Good evening. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is to come. The words of our gospel acclamation this evening. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the Son of David. The words that they said as our Lord rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. The words that we say at every Mass. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What is a Lord? A Lord is a master. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We all need a king. We all want a king. But we don't all know that we want a king because we live in the modern world that thinks kings are tyrants, and that the two terms are synonymous. So we think in our modern society that a king is someone who is going to lord it over us, and we're terrified of that possibility because of the fact that history has seen a lot of bad kings. We're terrified of the idea of one person having power, because whenever we think of one person having power, we think of what can go seriously wrong with that. And history has provided plenty of examples. But I think to appreciate what it is that we are celebrating tonight and this weekend with Christ the King, the Feast of Christ the King, it's important for us not just to think about what can go seriously wrong with a king, what can go seriously wrong when the hands of all of the people are reaching out to one single person, and when that one person is a fallen and fragile and often mistaken and broken human being like ourselves. History has provided plenty of examples of bad kings, kings who were given all power in their society and used it to crush those underneath them under a yoke of slavery, which is typically how our society paints kings. But it is significant that our opening prayer talked about our Lord Christ, our King, releasing us from slavery, setting us free from bondage. Is it possible, in fact, for a king to not only not enslave the people under him, but to set them free? Most certainly it is. There have been kings in history who have, like St. Louis IX of France, or St. Ferdinand of Castile, or St. Henry of Bavaria, or St. Stephen of Hungary. There have been kings in history who lifted their people up to enjoy a freedom and a peace and a prosperity that no one has ever experienced in other worlds, other regimes. Our Lord is a beneficent king. And that means for us that we don't just have a nameless mob governing the universe. We have one. He who is the Almighty, who is and who was and is to come. He who contains all power and all dominion. He who is given all glory and all honor. He who is our King, and we celebrate today as our King, is one individual being with all the authority, all the power of life and death, but who is all good. And what this means is that we should be suppliant to him as those who trust him. If you imagine a society in which you have one king who's over that society and that one king is evil, then you can well imagine everyone in that society being filled with terror and fear of the king. Try not to step out of the shadows and get
caught.
Try not to make eye contact. Just be kind of a nameless, faceless person in the rest of the mob so that nobody notices me and I don't get in trouble with the king. But if you imagine instead a king who is absolutely good, absolutely just, and all-powerful. Who of us would not go to this king, go to this leader and say, Lord, Sire, here is my sorrow. Here is my brokenness. Here is the injustice that has been perpetrated upon me. Here is my need. And not trust that that need will be met, that request will be heard. This is what a king is supposed to be. And every leader, every sovereign power is supposed to wield its power in truth and goodness. Being subject to that one almighty power, which is the one true king of all the universe, God Almighty. The fact of human history is that men who have power very often refuse to listen to the overarching authority of their king, of the king of kings. The king that we're told not only in our second reading as ruler of the kings of this earth, but who is our king. You say, I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. My kingdom does not belong to this world, our Lord says. It doesn't come out from this world, is what literally the Latin says, ex hoc mundo. My kingdom is not of this world. It's not drawn out of the fiber of this world. It exists from heaven. And therefore, when he says, my kingdom is not here, literally what our Lord is saying, he's not saying that it's not present here among us. He's saying it's not from out of here. The Latin word is not hic, but hinc, which is only one N added to the word, but is actually quite significant. Hic means it's not here, physically present. Hinc means it's not hence. It's not from here. And this world that you live in, Pilate, where the person who's in charge, the person who has the authority, is the person who can crucify anybody he doesn't like. The world you live in, Pilate, where a person can be just as innocent as our Lord and be put to death by a cowardly judge because he's not interested in the truth, he's only interested in power. Your world, Pilate, is not my world. It's not the world my kingdom comes from. And so the regime, the kingdom that is, as it were, invading our world of sin, our world of death, is a power and a kingdom that desires to conquer your hearts with love. And this king is not only the king who was and who is to come, but who is our king now. He's not just the king who was our king when he stood before Pilate, crucified with the words, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews, over his head, with a crown on his head that was made of thorns. He's not just the king who will come, who is to come at the end of time on the wings of the wind and on the clouds of heaven to take all authority and power that is rightfully his. Our king, the one to whom we turn with our prayers, with our confidence, with our trust, and with our assurance that he hears our prayers and that he is just, that he rewards those who are good, that he punishes those who are wicked, that he will bring his kingdom to bear, not only in our hearts, but in our world around us. That king is Jesus Christ. When Pope Pius XI established this feast, Christ the King, he didn't establish it to remind us that one day at the end of time, Christ will come as the King of the world, as the King of the universe. He established it to remind us, to remind all the nations of the world. And this is what he literally states in that encyclical, Quas Primus. If you ever get an opportunity, Or if you get an opportunity this evening, I encourage you, read it. Quas Primus by Pius XI. It was the encyclical with which he established this feast. He said, the reason this feast is established is to remind us that Christ is our King now. He is the King of this world. He is the King of the rulers of this age, of our laws, and therefore every sovereignty and every law must. It's not a question of, does it want to? It's not a question of, do we want to kind of maybe give our allegiance over to him? We owe our allegiance. He is our King. We are his subjects. And our world will only be happy. Our world will only be peaceful and prosperous when his kingship is acknowledged and his law is obeyed. What this means for all of us here tonight is not only that we pray for our world, that we pray for our leaders, for our nation, for the nations of the world, that they might acknowledge the kingship of Christ, but that you and I might tonight and tomorrow and the next day and for every succeeding day of our life more deeply and more perfectly obey the commands of our King and experience the prosperity, the joy, the peace that comes from living in union with him and under his sovereign reign.